Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen. The word of God we consider is from the Gospel reading. Please be seated. The Gospel writer begins this chapter, the 17th chapter in Matthew's Gospel, with the words saying, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, for a mountain walk." Imagine what must have been on their minds. 6 days before, Jesus had told them what was going to happen to him. And so he says, "I want you to go up the mountain with me." Kind of a foretaste of what would be happening with Jesus and a foretaste of what had happened with the people of Israel. Because if you remember, a lot of things happened on mountaintops. And so these disciples walking, if you can imagine this picture, with Jesus up the mountain, he's taking them on a journey. A journey that I don't know if they totally comprehended. And I don't think I would have either. Even though he had said what was going to happen to him. And I ask you today, are you ready to go on a journey? You know, some of you like to travel a lot, right? I mean, a lot of you went on Pastor Dwyer's tours somewhere, right? You went all over the world. And you had to prepare for that journey. And you saw many different things. And I think perhaps a number of you probably at one time or another went to Israel with Pastor Kron. I know I did, right? Took that journey up to the top of the Temple Mount and went up into the Galilee, and we took those walks and we considered all these things. Well, all of those are great journeys that we take, and I always love to travel someplace. Well, this time, though, I don't know if those disciples really could comprehend what Jesus was saying to them. Come on, let's take a walk up the mountain. I just told you I'm going to suffer and die. Oh, exactly where I want to go then, with him, right? And yet they went. And as they got to the top of the mountain, some really strange things happened. Don't you think? All of a sudden, Jesus' appearance is totally different. He starts shining bright, brighter than anything we could ever imagine. I don't know about you, but I probably would have been a little nervous. And then, what happens? Two dead people appear. Although, we're not sure exactly how they died. With Moses, it says, he walked back into the mountains before he got into the promised land. And Elijah, how did he go? A fiery chariot came and picked him up. That's probably the earliest version of the Mazda, right? John, where are you? You're not here this morning, right? But in reality, all of a sudden, these two people of the Old Testament appear with Jesus at the top of the mountain. Well, some would say that's because they are representative of the law and the prophets, the fulfillment of what God had said through the entire scriptures. And so here they are up on this mountain, and all of a sudden they hear the choir singing what you heard him say. "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say to you. Listen to him because he's made, has and will make all things new for you." So for you and for me, what does that mean today? The end of February 2017, exciting days for this congregation as we look to the future. And do we hear the voice of God speaking to us? "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." See, I think on this Transfiguration Sunday, which is the end of the season of Epiphany, the same words that were spoken of Jesus at his baptism at the beginning of our Epiphany journey are repeated again. They're like bookends of this time in ways God would manifest himself to us as the people of God. And so Jesus begins a new step in his journey as he comes back down that mountain. But where is he headed? To another mountain. This time not walking simply with his disciples, but this time what? Carrying his own cross. And carrying the burden of my sin, which would have been more than enough. But he's got yours too. He's got everyone's sin from all time, of all people. You think you would want to carry that burden? I don't think so. Carrying our own would be more than sufficient. And yet, Jesus does not shirk in his duties. Well, we know the end of the story, right? But those disciples didn't know it at that time, even though Jesus told them what would happen. Did they really believe him? And I guess that's the question for us today. Do we really believe this? Do we listen to the words of what God has said God is going to do for us? That he literally has changed the course of our lives. Because all sin would do would defeat us. But all God's grace does is to proclaim for us a victory. And so I want to invite you on a journey. A journey with one another. A journey with our Lord. A journey to the mountain where we hear how much God cares for us. We call it a journey of Lent. We begin that journey this Wednesday evening on Ash Wednesday. A reminder of what God has done for us when we're marked with the sign of the cross. From dust thou art, to dust thou wilt return. But God offers us new life through that. And I want to invite you to make that journey with us during these 40 days. Right? Make sure you set aside that extra time in the middle of the week to stop and look and listen to what God has to say to us. First in our journeys on Wednesday evenings, but daily in the devotional booklets that will be prepared and given to you during this coming week at Ash Wednesday. To take time out of our busy schedules to make room for Jesus in a journey that we take each and every year, but sometimes we just kind of take it for granted. And I want to encourage you to continue on the journey to the 6 little Easters that we'll have. See, because the days of Lent do not include the Sunday. If you count them up on your digits, it says 40 days, right? That's not including Sundays. Because Sunday is always the celebration of resurrection. Sunday is always the reminder that the victory has been won. But the Lenten season reminds us of the price that Jesus had to pay for you and me. And so I invite you to join us on this journey, to walk with one another, arm in arm, hand in hand, with Jesus, our Lord. And I invite you to journey with us through Holy Week. Not by simply choosing, well, I like Palm Sunday, I'm going to do that. Not too crazy about Maundy Thursday. Good Friday is a little depressing. The vigil, I don't know. But it's one continuous step along the journey of life for us. When we're reminded on Palm Sunday of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but which led to what? Passion. Led to suffering and death. And the same people who cried, Hosanna, blessed is he, are the same ones that cried what? Crucify him. He wasn't quite what they thought he would be. He was far more. And he was there for you and for me right from that very beginning. So journey with us through that Holy Week. Walk up the mountain on Maundy Thursday. And that mountain is the same mountain we're going to walk up today. It's called our table. It's called the altar. It's called the place where we feast on the precious gift of the body and blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that has been made. And so join us on the journey. Join us on Good Friday when we hear the sadness of the suffering and death of Jesus, keeping in mind that he had you on his mind as he suffered. Join us at the vigil. While we wait for that resurrection time to happen, join us to hear the story of how much God has given in order that you might have life and have it abundantly, not just now, but for eternity. I don't think we have to remind you too much to join us on Easter Sunday, do we? But I want to encourage you to do that. But as someone once said from this pulpit, I wasn't here, but this is a story that is true. On Easter Sunday, you were told, you ready for this? When the church was packed, how dare you come here on this day if you didn't have enough courtesy to come for the funeral? I don't want to mention any names. But he was right. The journey is a total time of the people of God gathering together to reflect upon our need for a Savior. The total part of the journey is our climaxing in the rejoicing that God has heard the call of the people, and God has heard by giving us a Savior. And so, as we come to this Lenten journey, come with us as we go up to seek God's guidance and assurance that he's with us in this journey. And in a world that's so kind of wacky as we know it is, he's the only hope that we have. Come with us as we come back down the mountain, as we go back to consider what Moses said and what Elijah said, as we seek our roots, because the cross which we look to is grounded in God's ancient promise of deliverance for his people. And then come with us as we go down the mountain, because as we go down the mountain, God has said to us, I need to be my witnesses for you, for me. And he said it in Acts chapter 1, by the way. I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Hicksville, and Levittown, and Woodbury, and Syosset. He knew all those towns, by the way, because that's where we need to be proclaiming Jesus Christ. And if I didn't get your town, it's your town too. And so the journey begins, and the journey never ends. And I invite you to walk with me, to walk with one another on that journey. Come to the mountain, and today, come to God's table of grace, where we receive assurance that he was with us every step of that journey. May the peace of God then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in that faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise to confess that faith in the